Please silence your cell phones within the library.
Hello and welcome to Library Binary, a monthly tech podcast from inside the library.
I'm your host and technology trainer, Anne.
And I'm your co-host and technology trainer, Elise.
This month in, well, coming up in January, we have a series of programs, including starting in January on Tuesday afternoons, starting at 2 p.m., we are going to have an open lab on our digital collections. So if you are trying to get started with Libby or RB Digital or Canopy or any of those things that we mentioned in a previous podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And you need a little bit of help getting started, you are welcome to drop by the computer classroom between 2 and 4 on Tuesday afternoons, and we can get you started. We can get things figured out.
Yay.
We also have a tech talk coming up on January 17th at 7 p.m. That's going to be Cutting the Cord again, which is still very, very popular.
One of our most popular tech talks to date.
Certainly. So you can come and see what all the excitement's about.
On January 24th at 3:30 p.m. at the UH branch, we will be having the Tech Talk Virtual Assistants, which we will be discussing today. But that is a more hands-on experience where you get to have a little bit of an interaction and learn more about all of the lovely virtual assistants out there. On January 26th at 2 p.m., there will be the Tech Talk Digital Photos Q&A. This is kind of a revamp of our previous class called Digital Photography. This class, instead of the previous one, which focused on sort of like cameras, we're now going to talk about using your cell phone camera and scanning and other kinds of ways to handle all the photos that people have now.
Including the return of Google Photos, our favorite thing.
So that is the updates for programs for January, because January is a very slow month at the library because not a lot of people want to come to the library in January.
It's also when the weather gets bad.
It's really the weather is the biggest thing.
And the post-holiday, like,
coma.
Hibernation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to actually come. Okay. This month, we are introducing a new segment to the show. Before our monthly topic, we are now going to have a technology term. The idea here is to introduce our listeners to things they might be encountering regularly or things that they've never heard of so that they can understand and learn more about technology, not just topics that are related to the library or that we bring in, but so you can expand your knowledge. I wrote here when I was writing out about this, if we can't be My Favorite Murder, we can at least be Sesame Street.
Yeah. So this is your tech Sesame Street segment.
Word of the month.
Woo!
Woo! All right. So this month, our technology term is Internet of Things. And when I say that, I kind of can almost feel blank faces from other people.
Right.
Because it's not a widely used term, but in the technology realm, it comes up.
Definitely. It's also sometimes abbreviated as IoT, like capital I, small O, capital T, because that's the first letter of each of those words.
That's how abbreviation works.
Generally, yes. But in this case, Internet of Things is internet-connected devices.
It's very broad. The thing is that the internet, to begin with, is just a term for a large interconnected
network.
Network.
Which is what the word came from.
Makes little hand motions that you guys can't see, but I'm making like cat's cradle hand motions as if I could do that. So it's that, but with computers. The difference is that Internet of Things, we're talking about phones, Bluetooth speakers, your car.
Refrigerators.
Yeah. Microwaves.
Yeah. There's the new like Alexa-powered microwave thing.
You said her name.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
There's a reason I only said virtual assistants when talking about the program.
Good call.
I did not want our guests today.
Yes, we've got some guests in the studio, in the media lab with us today. And I've heard it described as treating these virtual assistants, you have to talk about them like they're angry ghosts. Like you don't want to get them mad.
They, you know what? It angry ghosts is not the one I would say. It's more like dogs.
Yeah.
Smart enough to know their own name. Smart enough to know when you're talking about things that pertain to them.
Oh, yeah. Like outside.
Like the word outside. And then if you start spelling, they realize that that's a different cadence in your voice. So they know you're talking about something that means it has to do with them. So virtual assistants are like very intelligent dogs that are computers. They're robot dogs. They're Australian shepherds and border collies.
They're the smart ones.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the Internet of Things, smart devices. Anytime you get any kind of device that has to be connected through Bluetooth or through Wi-Fi, which honestly, light bulbs,
smart like locks that have become common. Microwaves, like a lot of kids' toys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fitbits.
The Fitbit, yeah.
Smart watches. And there's a lot of stuff that then can go awry when the internet goes down then.
Oh, yeah.
That was my horror story of the lights turning on me because the power went out. Yes. And then I couldn't turn them off.
We had that in a previous episode. Go back and listen to it. Okay. So, yeah. So, that's the Internet of Things. So, now, listeners, you have a new technology word that you know and understand. Woo. Okay. So as we kind of started to begin to say, we have a topic this month.
Virtual assistants.
Yes. So in the Media Lab studio with us today, we have four devices. Technically
three assistants, but we have to kind of jerry-rig one of them to actually be heard on microphone. Yeah.
So we have Siri, Google, and Alexa with us in the... she didn't get...
Okay, good.
Nothing happened.
I'm amazed. I probably should have muted her.
Okay. And so what we want to do today is we want to show you a little bit of what they can do, and we want to talk about why they're so common and so popular.
Yeah, there was some statistic recently of probably by... around now, honestly, with mm-hmm. the holidays, we're looking at about like 48% of American consumers have one of these smart things in their house.
Is that counting cell phones?
I don't know. I do want to clarify that. I need to go back and look at that.
Yeah,
study.
Go look at that number and then come back to us in a month.
Right.
If we remember.
Or we may have new statistics by then, too.
Ooh, that's a point. Yeah. I don't have a smart speaker, but I have the phone.
Right. And I do have a smart speaker, which is the thing that controls my lights that didn't work mm-hmm. in the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just going to be called back to all the time in this episode, apparently. But we could have our guests introduce themselves.
Okay. So let's... there are a couple of virtual assistants that are out there on the market right now. We have three, but there's... an additional one that we don't have access to.
Right.
So the one that we do not have access to is Bixby, which comes on Samsung devices.
Right.
No one we know within the department had a Samsung phone for us to kidnap for this recording.
Yeah.
So we only have the other sort of like big three right now.
And honestly, these are probably the big three that you would have heard of.
Yeah. Bixby is actually fairly recent.
Fairly recent and kind of half-baked from my understanding.
Okay. So do we have an order in mind? Do you want to?
Let's start with our Apple contender.
Okay. Hey, Siri, tell me about yourself.
Who I am isn't important.
Okay. Let's try again. Hey, Siri, what can you do?
Screen.
Okay, it just gave me a text readout. You're no help. If you were wondering why the Siri was a male voice, that is a setting you can do.
Right. So you are able to change the voices on a lot of these virtual assistants. Mm-hmm. And also, he's British.
Yes. I thought that was more fun to listen to.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go for our next guest.
Alexa, what can you do?
There is a lot I can do. You can ask me things like, wake me up in the morning. How's the weather this evening? Or, wake me up to music. Do you want to hear more?
That's good.
You can also say, what's on my shopping list? Tell me a Shakespeare joke. Or, remind me to feed the pets. If you want to hear other suggestions, just ask for more.
Listeners, what you can't hear or see is that we have had to turn up Alexa quite loud. And so every time she starts speaking, Anne and I
jump. We just start cracking up, too.
We lean away quite far and flinch and then begin laughing silently. This is a very, this is perhaps going to be the worst episode we're ever going to record.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Okay, so that was a little bit about Alexa. I'm intrigued by the concept that there's the Shakespearean joke in there.
Of course.
Do you want to do your final guest?
So our last, it does not have a fun name.
I wish they'd given him a name.
But this... It? I don't know. So we're going to try out on my phone. Hey, Google. What can you do?
Here are the things I'm good at. Give one a try by saying something like, how can I manage shopping lists?
Hey, Google. Google. Okay, Google. What can I have you do?
That's a tough one.
So Google and Siri, super unhelpful at this particular juncture.
They are also on phones, which have screens. So they're assuming that you might potentially be looking at the screen.
But right now we have our phones. We'll post this on our Twitter, but we have our phones and, like, the smart speakers sort of, like, clustered around a third microphone, so we can't actually look at them based on, like, where we set up our recording equipment, which is just hilarious in its own way. Okay, so that was kind of an introduction to them. Not great. But let's talk a little bit more about virtual assistants. They're on to basically every phone right now.
Pretty much, yeah. And you may have accidentally triggered Siri, especially, by holding down the home button for too long.
Yes.
And then she makes that little chime.
I mean, I actually use my Siri quite a bit.
Yeah.
I get a lot of texts, like, while I'm driving or while I'm doing stuff. And I do, you can have Siri read messages to you.
Right.
So you can say, like, what's my current messages?
You can have her send messages, too.
I do that constantly. Like, if I'm busy, I'll be like, hey, Siri, send a text to James Mobile.
What do you want to say?
Hi.
Your message to James McConnell says hi. Ready to send it?
Send.
Okay, it's sent.
Okay, so that's kind of...
one example of how you could use it.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm about to get a text message back that's like, what are you, why?
Yeah. But it's really helpful in the car, if you're cooking, like, you just can't, like, handle your phone in that moment and you need to send a text. Yep.
Yep, there's a text. Yeah, so that's one really cool feature of it.
Right. And as a lot of them mentioned, actually, you can keep track of, like, shopping lists as well.
Yeah.
So as you, like, run out of a certain food, which is probably how we use things, or you run out of toilet paper or something like that, you can tell these devices, like, hey, put that on my shopping list. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say any of them my name because I don't want them to respond. But they can add it to the shopping list, and then you can look at it. You didn't have to type it out. It's just, it's kind of a Star Trek future we're approaching.
Yeah, I think, I want to see if Siri will do something. I mean, I have the ability to edit out any particular details.
Right, yeah.
On the audio. So I want to see, hey Siri, what's on my calendar?
You have 16 upcoming appointments. Here are the first three. All day Monday, Christmas Eve.
All day Tuesday, Christmas Day. All day Wednesday, Kwanzaa. Do you want to hear the next three?
No, thank you.
So just because I have national holidays on mine, it'll do that. But you can do that. You can set reminders.
Right. Setting timers, especially.
I love setting timers.
Especially when you're cooking, again. Mm-hmm. I guess I tend to use this the most, I think, when I'm cooking in terms of, like, when do I need to take pasta off the stove? When do I need to, like, check on things that are in the oven? I might have, like, multiple timers going on. This is really helpful for holiday meals. You have, like, the turkey in the oven and you need to check something else. Then you can set a timer on your phone and know when to check the potatoes. I don't know.
Yeah. And then they have sort of, like, funny things.
Yeah. There are a lot of jokes programmed into them.
I don't know all of them, but I think we can... Alexa, what'd you get me for Christmas this year?
In 2018, Christmas Day is on December 25th, 2018.
Not what I asked.
Sometimes they make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try Google. Okay, Google. Read me a poem.
Here's a poem from Lit to Go from a collection called Lyrics of Love and Laughter. It's read by Rick Kistner.
Lyrics of Love and Laughter by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Silence. 'Tis better to sit here beside the sea, here on the spray-kissed beach, in silence that between such friends as we is full of deepest speech.
Is it over?
I think it's over.
Okay.
And also, nearly all of these have a response to Open the Pod Bay Doors from 2001 A Space Odyssey, because Hal is, of course, this kind of virtual assistant.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, open the pod bay doors.
But the cat will get out.
Sometimes they're not good responses.
No, he's done something different previously. Alexa, open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal and we're not in space.
We might have just fist bumped.
Okay, Google. Open the pod bay doors.
I can't do that, but there's a spare key under the flower pot outside the pod bay airlock. You can let yourself in.
I think Siri can't quite understand me as normally because I'm recovering from a cold.
Which is why this podcast episode is all over the place.
Well, this podcast episode is all over the place because I'm recovering from not one but two illnesses. And on Monday, there was a kamikaze squirrel that decided the library had to be stopped.
Specifically, the computer lab had to be stopped.
The squirrel ate our power lines.
So we're still recovering from that.
There's been a lot of electrical issues and... rescheduling this is kind of a mess, and December is a huge mess for our schedules to begin with because we don't have classes and there's like other things we have to do. So we're recording later than normal. This is a weird day. I like ran into the lab basically immediately so we can record this. Anne has to leave the moment we're done recording. Yep. It's a bit silly today, which is why we're off script so much.
We should probably mention some basics of virtual assistants.
Let's mention basics.
And we're just going to recap this as needed. I'm sorry. So virtual assistants can come in a variety of different forms. Couple that we've mentioned, of course, Siri, Google, exist on our phones. They're actually built into the operating system. There also are smart speakers as well. So that is where Alexa comes in. So this is a little internet-connected device. Like we mentioned, we'll have a picture of our little ensemble today. We'll have a little picture of our ensemble today on Twitter. So you can see the size of what we're working with. So our Alexa speaker is just like a hockey puck pretty much. And you can put them all around the house then. So you don't need to have your phone on you. You can just like yell across the room and Alexa will respond. So they've become really popular. They've become really popular gifts. And
I'm getting texts because I texted someone something I do not normally send them. And now my texts are coming through.
Right.
I'm going to respond.
We did have one experiment that I was trying.
Yes. There is a sort of like third-party virtual assistant.
It's an open source virtual assistant, so voice assistant, that you can purchase like smart speakers that have it like built in. Mm-hmm. And also you can kind of build it yourself using what's called a Raspberry Pi, which is a teeny tiny itty bitty computer, essentially.
If you're interested in more about Raspberry Pis, we talk about them in our class called Why Coding.
Yeah.
Because they are miniature computers that you can purchase and program to do lots of cool tasks. So this one is actually called Mycroft.
It is.
Which is Sherlock Holmes's brother's name.
Yeah.
Is that where they got it? Or I know that Mycroft is like a name, but
I think it's from like a sci-fi novel that that character was named after Holmes's brother.
Holmes's brother.
Yeah. So it like 6 degrees of separation. Yes.
Yes.
So I have been kind of trying to figure out an open source or like a non-internet connected way to control my lights. Mm-hmm. So if the internet goes out, I can actually control my lights.
Mm.
And also there are some privacy concerns, obviously, yes, with these. So these speakers are pretty much always listening.
You have to turn them off in a very specific way. So, for instance, normally I do not have my phone set to respond when I say Siri.
That word. We're good.
Normally I have that off. So normally I have to press and hold the home button.
Right.
Because I prefer it not to listen to me all the time. Because in order to have the, like, Hey Siri function active, you have to allow your microphone to be running at all times, which means the company that runs the virtual assistant does get data on you.
Right, right. And you've probably heard as we've been using these assistants, there is what's called the wake word, which is their name, essentially. It's just like when you call your kids, you're trying to get their attention, or a dog, mm-hmm, you're trying to get their attention, you use their name. After that, that's your request. That's like the information that it's going to respond to, but there are definitely false positives.
Mm-hmm. I've had Siri respond to things that aren't necessarily, I'm definitely not saying the word Siri.
But it's close enough because it is a computer.
Yeah.
That's listening. So it doesn't really know English.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, for example, if somebody says and doesn't really enunciate the D, I turn around because that's pretty close to my name. Yeah, so computers are just like that, except they probably have more false positives because they don't know the language particularly well. So, for example, my Alexa at home is actually set up so I say computer to turn it on.
Okay.
Do you realize how many times you say the word computer in a given day?
You and I say the word computer quite a bit.
It's not uncommon for all of a sudden Alexa's voice to chime in from behind the couch of like, I don't understand that. And my James and I will be like, I wasn't talking to you.
You're not a part of this conversation, Alexa. Oh, you turned her off. Good.
Yeah, I muted her. So most of the smart speakers do offer a like button that you can press, a physical button that you can press to turn off the microphone. But there have been cases where smart speaker recordings have been used in like murder trials.
I think I know the exact one you're talking about because
I think there are now a couple, actually. We're moving into this sort of legal. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Anne and I do listen to a lot of the same podcasts. So I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same one that was like in Australia or something.
I think, yeah, that was one. There definitely are American ones too now.
Mm-hmm.
And there also was a weird case, a couple weird cases of Alexa spontaneously laughing. No prompt, just laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one where some like voice data was emailed to somebody else, a third party.
Well, because there are complicated procedures in them. And right. if the code gets like slightly corrupted through just like anything small, like just an update.
And keep in mind, humans write the code. Mm-hmm. We make mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
So there's a chance there's something wonky going on.
But there is also the fact that they are limited in what they can do and what they do sort of normally. If you want advanced or interesting sort of things to be done, I know there was a story like a year ago of a woman who's like Alexa called like 911 for her.
Right.
Which I think is not something that they normally are programmed to do.
Right. There are kind of third-party services you can add. Mm-hmm. That add that sort of functionality. I've helped somebody actually at the library set something up. So her Google Home, so the smart speaker from Google, which has the stupid name of Hey Google, set up so that if she falls, for example, and mm-hmm. she's pretty close to her smart speaker, she or even, you know, not close and can yell, she can have it call for help and actually have it like call her kids and call like friends who are close by so they can come see what's going on and call emergency services as needed.
Yeah. But those kinds of things are, I think they're technically called skills.
Yeah.
And you have to go into the settings for the virtual assistant. And from there you have to specifically kind of create something. And for certain ones, there are tutorials out there on the internet. So if you want
right.
something more complicated, I wouldn't necessarily suggest trying to figure something out. I, before we recorded the podcast, tried to figure out how to get Siri to, like, say some dialogue I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
It did not work out.
Yeah.
I tried. Yeah. Well, granted, I did give up after like an hour because I was like, I have to actually do other parts of my job now.
That's fair.
Yeah. So there are limits to what they can do. They're very useful. I like having them.
And they make information accessible.
Yeah.
If you don't have like great mobility, yelling at something or talking normally, I always say yelling, but talking normally at a smart speaker can get you access to weather information and sports scores and just like Wikipedia information. There even is some functionality with like Alexa and with the Google devices to have it like turn on your TV and put shows on your TV.
Well, yeah. And with that, you need to be... you need to have like a television that is...
For more information on that, come to Cutting the Cord.
Yeah. You need to have a television that's part of the Internet of Things.
Exactly.
We picked a word that ties in to the thing we're doing today.
There's no guarantee that's going to happen in the future.
It's never going to happen again. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the pros and cons and what they can do. Any other thoughts on Siri, Alexa...
There is a kids version of Alexa,
mm-hmm.
Which has its pros and cons again, because, mm-hmm. you know, always listening to your kid, which is a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's, like, programmed that you have to say please in order for it to, like, follow through on a request, or at least that like, that's an option. And you can – there are parental controls as well. So, like – you can limit the music that they can listen to, not mm-hmm. like with explicit lyrics, or you can, you know, I'm blanking on things. You can limit like the skills that they can install as well. So they can be more educational, like learning how to count and like cute little stories. You can also have them be like white noise machines too.
Okay.
So if you have trouble sleeping, lots of options.
Yeah, that could be cool. So this month's pun will be brought to you individually by our co-hosts. Hey, Siri, tell me a pun.
My favorite drink, subtle tea.
Ah, I love it.
Alexa, tell me a pun.
Why did the lemmings jump from the dock? What? Too much peer pressure.
She didn't give me time.
Too much peer pressure?
No, I got it.
Okay, Google. Tell me a pun.
Why did the scarecrow keep getting promoted? Because he was outstanding in his field.
She has noise.
She does.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
And remember, if you don't know your password,
we won't either.
Goodbye.